Welcome to Living the Abundant Life program. This is your host, Rachel McLean. Call 772-220-0602 for more information about men's prayer, ladies' prayer, and midweek Bible studies. Watch our live stream at AbundantLifeStuart.com on Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. Our mailing address is Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stuart, Florida 34995. Join us as we go to a pre-recorded service with Pastor Jonathan McLean.
This is a day not only of latter-day moving and working of the Holy Spirit, but it's also a day of falling away. And we may not want to look at that, but it's in the Word of God, and it's something we need to look at, and we need to understand that right now is a day of falling away. While some are being saved, others are falling away. And to those who don't believe you can fall away, it's really dangerous. Because if you think you can't fall away, then there is a recklessness that is birthed that gives a person a false sense of security. That I can't fall away. I'm in the Father's hand. No man can take me out of the Father's hand. I love that verse. But do you know what that verse should remind us of? No man put you there. How did you get into the Father's hand? Jesus provided the way, but we had to receive the gift. We had to welcome the gift, and we had to choose the gift. And so it's true, there's no demon, no devil, no one can take you away from the Father except you. I don't like that. I mean, it would be nice to say, well, you know, this person prayed a prayer when they were 5 years old. This one prayed a prayer when they were 13. Yes, they live like the devil. They have no interest in God. But, and I so many people believe, well, my family's okay because they prayed that prayer. I remember they walked the aisle. They have no appetite for God. They have no interest in the Word of God. They have no interest in living right. They have no aspect of their life where they honor God. And I'll tell you what, if none of that's going on in your life, then you need to be born again. You are not saved. You're not saved. Because if you're saved, if you're a new creation in Christ, it says old things pass away. And not just on the day you're saved, but things keep passing away that are not of God. And God keeps renewing and restoring and changing us, and we are transformed daily. And that metamorphosis that talks about being a new creation, that metamorphosis is where there is still any part of death, it dies. It drops off and God brings new life to us. And so we see this in the Word of God. But 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3, don't be fooled by what they say. Well, what is it talking about? Well, starting with verse 1, now, brothers and sisters, let us tell you about the coming again of our Lord Jesus Christ, talking about the returning of the Lord for the church, how we will be gathered together to meet Him. Please don't be so easily shaken and troubled by those who say that the day of the Lord has already begun. Even if they claim to have had a vision, a revelation, a letter supposedly from us, don't believe them. Don't be fooled by what they say. Okay. For that day, which day? The day of the Lord's gathering of His people. For that day will not come until there is a great rebellion against God, and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the one who brings destruction. He will exalt himself and defy every God there is and tear down every object of adoration and worship. He will position himself in the temple of God. How many of you know we don't have a temple yet of God, but we will have. He will position himself in the temple of God, claiming that he himself is God. Don't you remember that I told you this when I was with you? And you know what is holding him back, for he can be revealed only when his time comes. All right. I want to read this from the Amplified. I really like what the Amplified says. Again, reading from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, back to verse 3. Let no one deceive or beguile you in any way, for that day will not come except the apostasy, that's the falling away, unless the apostasy comes first. That is, unless the predicted great falling away of those who have professed to be Christians has come. and the man of lawlessness, sin, is revealed, who is the son of doom, of perdition. Now, if you had a lexicon, or maybe you had one of the translations that gives you 26 translations side by side, you would be able to see exactly what the Amplified said. In fact, I would encourage all of you to use an Amplified for additional clarity of understanding when you're reading if you have a question. The Amplified is very helpful. Also, I've seen my friends over here, Roger and Kathy, with a Dake Bible, and I enjoy the Dake Bible. I use the Dake Bible, and Dake was a pastor who believed that God was going to do what he always did and said he was going to do. And so his Bible lays out and organizes a lot of great outlines and brings a lot of clarity from the Greek and even the Hebrew. Very helpful. But I like the Amplified. It really is that. It brings together an extension of the meaning of the words with clarity. It's not like the Good News, which is simply, you know, that's not actually a translation. That's more of a transliteration than it is a translation. But in the Amplified, you get this picture. I'm going to read it again because we're going to talk for a moment about the great falling away, but I want you to know that the topic of the message today is not the great falling away. It is the great security that we have in Jesus Christ. The great security that we have in Jesus Christ. And sometimes I'll have someone say, Jonathan, how can you have fellowship? And they may mention pastor, and I could mention many different denominations and independent churches. And I can only say what Paul said when he came to that community where there were all kinds of different opinions. And Paul said, when I came amongst you, I purposed to know Jesus Christ and Him crucified only. In other words, Paul said, I wanted to stick to the main topic. I didn't get involved in all your discussions. I want to stick to the fact that God so loved the world that He gave His only Son. He died on the cross. He was buried in the grave. On the third day, He rose from the dead. He is the only way and the only truth to the Father. There is no other way. And we need to stick to the basics, and then we need to read and learn and develop our knowledge of the Word and grow in faith. I thank God that when I came to faith, that I was not stuck at that level. I have grown so much in God, even in the last year. And I trust you have as well, because the Word of God is alive and it brings life to us and truth to us. And so in this passage, when it speaks of the falling away and says that day, the day of the returning of the Lord, the ingathering of the saints, will not come except the apostasy comes first. I wanted to emphasize that point because it's part of what's happening right now. Now you may say, well, In what way is that happening right now? I'm just going to mention a few because we could spend all morning and we could look at a lot of news and a lot of reports, which we're not going to go to all that because a lot of it's painful, but there is all kinds of evidence. All right, first of all, I just want to say the falling away. I believe we've had as many or more pastors fall in this year already, maybe more than we've had in any year in the past. Now, that's just the pastors we know about. Don't think that the only pastors that are falling are pastors in big churches. In fact, let me remind you of this. The next point is that the churches, there's a tremendous falling away in the churches. And so the pastors in the churches who vote for what's going to be brought into their churches, if you're in the United Methodist Church, if you're in the Lutheran Church, if you're in the Presbyterian Church, if you're in these big denominational churches, the pastors actually vote on where the church is going to stand in regards to issues. And so we know that most of the mainline churches have been rapidly leaving biblical truth. Rapidly. They But in order for that to happen, that's why I started with pastors. In order for the churches to leave biblical truth, the pastors had to first leave biblical truth. So the leaders internally had to backslide before their whole denomination could backslide. Do you understand what I'm saying? So when you look at, say, I'll just pick on the United Methodists for a moment because they've been in the news over the last couple years, and there's been a tremendous split amongst the Methodist churches, and many of those churches have decided to leave because they've said, we are not going to have homosexuals leading our churches or lesbians leading our churches, and we're not going to have them involved in our leadership. But the majority of the American United Methodist churches said, no, that's fine, we're going to bring all that in. So I want you to understand, when you look at this, when one after another, when you look at these mainline denominations and you say, how did they get where they are? I'll tell you how they did. The enemy has been targeting ministers, the pastoral leadership, for years, and there has been a public image and there has been a private lifestyle. So the public image still kept to the traditional ways. They became more and more traditional, less and less godly. They became more and more traditional and less aware of the presence of God. And so in many of these big churches, people would say, well, you know, it's the way it's always been. But they have their form, they have their organization, they do things this way. And whether God showed up or didn't show up, nobody even misses God, because we're a church, we're a social club, we're a religious club, this is what we do. And you say, well, Jonathan, you're really being hard on pastors and churches this morning. No, I just want to point out that we're in the last day. I can't awaken anyone, but I trust that you can look at the landscape and realize that the churches in America, we are real close to the point where if someone says, well, I'm going to go to church this Sunday, I'll go to the church down the street, that church may actually have a perverted gospel that is so wicked that they're literally sending people to hell. And, you know, there was a day when you could go to this church, that church, that church, and the Word of God would be read, and there would be a message that would draw you to repent and come to Jesus. But now, more and more, we've lost that. But not just in America, it's all over the world. Now, there are nations, some of the African nations have refused. Some of them, almost in total agreement, have refused to accept the changes that's going on in some of the churches. Praise God for them. Those pastors have said, no, we are not going to change our church doctrine to match the godlessness that's in our generation. But understand, Jesus said this was going to happen. And so this is a sign. I know most often we go and we look at Israel, right? And so we look at Israel and say, well, we see Israel since 1948 being brought back and being restored. And we see the Word of God that says that Israel is not going to be destroyed and wiped off the map ever from this time into history. God's got His hand on the nation. And we look at that, and that's appropriate. But maybe while we were not watching, because we're not in a secular church, maybe we haven't caught the fact that all around us in America, we have been losing our way because the pastors have been selling out to sin for years. And now it's beginning to show up. How did we get to a place where churches don't have a problem with men going in women's restrooms and women going in men's restrooms? I mean, what about this? Now we have someone that's running for a vice president that put tampons in the men's restrooms. I mean, we have come to such a level. I don't believe my mom could have even believed that. I don't believe my dad would have even believed that. I remember Rachel saying to me one day in reference to COVID, she said, I believe God may have taken mom and dad home because they would not have been able to understand what was happening. And my concern is not that we are giving into that sin. My concern is that we not be conditioned to not have shock and remorse and a burden to pray and realize that America, the churches in America on the big scale, have sold out to go the way of the world. And many people don't know the difference. They don't know the difference. And someone will say, oh, well, I'm going over there. And I'm like, oh, okay, I know I need to pray for you. Because I know that they refuse to teach the Word of God, many passages in the Word of God. And they say, well, that's too controversial. We would lose support. Let's go to Matthew chapter 24, verse 12. Matthew 24, 12. Now, Matthew 24, 12, I'm going to start in the Amplified because I'm going to give you some this morning. Of course, you know Matthew 24 is the passage that talks about events, circumstances, and such forth that's going to be taking place in the end time. Well, let's just start verse 11. And many false prophets will rise and deceive and lead many into error. Verse 11. Many false prophets. Now understand that this is kind of a big term, so it's not like that there's just going to be people showing up saying, I'm a prophet, and giving false reports. There will be some of that. There has been some of that. But anyone who stands up to give the message, who distorts it for personal gain or for the enemy's gain, is a false prophet that's leading people, look at this, leading people into error. And the love of the great body of people will grow cold because of the multiplied lawlessness and iniquity. I think the King James says the love of many will grow cold. Is that right? Somebody have the King James for that verse? The love of many will grow cold. But look at verse 13. He who endures to the end will be saved. So it's not one that started strong. It's one who endures strong. So the plan of God for you and your family is not only that you're a strong believer this morning, but that you finish as a strong believer as well. So I mentioned that pastors falling. And pastors have often been picked on because they may have had indiscretions with money, right? And there's been a lot of news about the mega $1 million houses and the cars and the airplanes and all this kind of stuff. And certainly money, Jesus talks about being a hireling. So a hireling's about money. It has to do with doing things for the purpose of resources, gaining resources. And so I understand that. But this other big area of failure is morality among spiritual leaders. The failure of purity and morality didn't just start. Remember, when you look at the temple and you look at Samuel coming in to the temple, he's just a kid, right? And he comes in and Eli is the high priest. And Eli's boys, they're also priests and they're involved in the priesthood. But if you remember what was going on, they were actually sexually molesting the female worshipers coming into worship. And Eli did not stop them. They were his family. Some years ago, we had a very painful situation with some of our families. Two or three families were involved. I remember a brother, close friend of mine, dear friend of mine, he's with the Lord today. He came to me after we'd called in counselors and various ones to bring accountability and bring truth and to bring healing and to provide counsel. Those were really challenging days. I remember this man coming to me and he said, Jonathan, I know what you are saying and the other leaders, because we brought leaders in from other areas so it was impartial, so there would be witnesses, the way the church is supposed to work. And he said, I know that it's true what they are saying, but he said, I can't take a stand against my family. He said, please understand, this is my family. I can't take a stand against my family. You see what was going on? There was sin going on in the family, and that sin had been exposed. And here was a patriarch saying, Jonathan, please understand, this is my family. I can't do anything about it. God wants there to be purity in His church. And some things have been hidden. Some things have been overlooked. Eli did not deal with his sons. And so God removed him. And then Samuel. Think about Samuel. He's the kid who's being raised up to be the priest. And Samuel, you read the rest of the story. Samuel, his children did not follow God like he did either. That's a burden to me. I believe my first mission field is my family. I believe yours is too. And yet I understand we do all that we can and we have to trust God with our family. But with our families, we cannot ignore what needs to be addressed. And we must address it. So this talks about, Jesus says in the end time, there's going to be this great falling away. So we have a tremendous falling away of pastors. If you do a search online, it's sickening. All of the leaders that will just pop up almost instantly over the last months or couple years of huge churches. One of the largest churches in the United States, Robert Morris, over or at 100,000 people. And these churches are being shaken today because the people that are there, they did not know about their leadership. But when leadership is out of order, it releases demonic strongholds over that whole congregation. This is how whole denominations have lost their way. This is how whole nations are losing their way. This is how America has lost its way. Our leaders have been sinning on high level. And when the house of God is not speaking the word of God and there is not accountability and correction and repentance, then the nation has no other godly standard to go by if the church fails to lift up that standard. Are you all still here? I know this is heavy. It's kind of heavy, isn't it? But we've got to talk about it. So pastors falling away, that set the stage for the denominations to fall away. And even some of the more conservative denominations are now struggling with large numbers of pastors, hundreds of pastors that have been sexually immoral, and the denominational leadership hid it and sent these pastors to other cities and simply looked the other way. And while the Roman Catholic Church was a proponent, maybe not publicly and by doctrine, but by practice of homosexuality to all of the nations. And I would say the destruction of the family, because God never intended for a man to be alone. And so when we broke up the family, we created a global, sinful situation. And the church has suffered from it. But while many looked at the Roman Catholic Church as these priests were being identified as being pedophiles, and many said, well, yeah, they've got all the problems, the Roman Catholic Church, but look at what has gone on in the Protestant church, in many of the conservative Protestant churches. And so the falling away, yes, it's with spiritual leadership. And so when the spiritual leadership falls, then the churches simply go the direction of the pastors, because they're the ones making the decisions. And then the entire congregation is exposed. And so that level, it is not just a physical example, it is a spiritual example. A spiritual stronghold is released. And you may not agree with me, but I believe that with this release of sin in the pastorate, in the mainline denominations, I believe this has brought our nation to where we are today. I believe this is how we have the mess in our neighborhoods, in our schools, in our local offices. In other words, how can we expect more out of politicians than we expect out of our pastoral leaders? And I thank God for the Assemblies of God. And I want to just say this. The Assemblies of God as an organization has a very high standard on morality for pastors. And I've had pastors tell me, well, we left and we went to the Church of God, or we went here, we went somewhere else, because it was almost impossible in the Assemblies of God to get licensed because of this or that or whatever. I thank God that the Assemblies of God has held on to a very high standard and said that you need to have a good example in the house of God and also in the community, or else you should not be in pastoral ministry. I agree with that. I believe that's appropriate. I believe every time a pastor falls that hell has a celebration. And I believe that all over our nation, more families drop out of church and say, that's exactly what I've been thinking, that there's nothing but hypocrites here and there's no reason for me to be a part. But let me tell you, there is a church in this day and will be a church right up till the returning of the Lord that is not going to compromise. There is a select elect that's going to stand, and God is going to be on the move through His people, and the lost will know that God is on the scene. And God is on the scene. I want to just bring your attention back to what took place with Jesus and the disciples. We started there in John chapter 6. Let's go back there again in closing this morning. In John chapter 6, Jesus asked the question. At this point, many of His disciples turned away and deserted Him. Then Jesus turned to the 12 and asked, "Are you going to leave too?" And Simon Peter replied, "Lord, to whom would we go?" I want to pull your attention there as we close this morning. The important point that is here is the disciples recognized there's no other place to go. How do you know if you're secure in Christ this morning? How do you know that you are not compromising? How do you know that you're not backsliding? Well, let me ask you this question. Are you going to leave too? I just told you that there's pastors leaving, there's denominations leaving, there's congregations leaving, there's nations that are leaving biblical truth. So my question is, are you going to leave too? And if your answer is no, where else could we go? If that's your answer this morning, then you are standing secure in Christ. That's the difference. That's the difference. Because some people will say, "Well, you know, I'm not sure where to stand on some of these things, Pastor." Well, where does God stand? Where does God stand? If you've chosen to not leave, because either you leave or you cleave. You can't cleave and leave at the same time. It's like marriage. Either you're married and you're one, or else you're split and you're torn apart. So either you leave or you cleave. If you're cleaving to Christ, your question is, where does God stand on this issue? And wherever God stands, that's where I stand.
If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you can do so today. Please pray this simple prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I believe that You are Christ, the Son of the living God, that You died for my sins. I am a sinner. I need a Savior. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be Lord of my life today. I ask this all in Jesus' name, and fill me with Your wonderful Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been listening to Living the Abundant Life with Pastor Jonathan McLean, coming to you from Abundant Life Assembly of God Church. If you would like to be a partner with us in support of this ministry, you may do so by going to AbundantLifeStewart.com. Please send all correspondence to Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stewart, Florida 34995. Jesus said, "I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly."
Hello, this is Jonathan McLean, the General Manager of WCNO. We are so glad that you're part of our listening family. This coming Monday, October the 7th through Friday, October the 18th, we will be having our fall fundraising together. Please plan to join us for prayer and share.
The Baptist Bible Hour now comes to you under the direction of Elder Lasser Bradley Jr., pastor of the Cincinnati Primitive Baptist Church.
Tune in every Sunday at 10 a.m. for the Baptist Bible Hour right here on the Good News Station, WCNO.
I've been here.